Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we explore your questions to help you make meaningful connections with teenagers, because no teen deserves to feel alone. Have a question you'd like us to address? Email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo. Now, let's jump into this week's question.
How are teens using AI, and what should we actually be worried about? That's the question for today.
That's it. That's all.
AI wrote that, probably.
I think so.
I'm kind of offended that you said that.
Guess what? No one knew. Can't even tell.
So listen, it's not going anywhere. So instead of like, you know, like, I don't know if y'all, I'm older than y'all. I'm doing the whole like good old days mourning process of hitting 40. And so instead of mourning about what has been, let's find ways to make it work for us. So I guess first and foremost, like, let me ask you this. What does AI look like in y'all's lives as a resident older person? Old. I'll call y'all an old, not a teen, like an old.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're the young one.
I am the young one, but I still do feel old.
Yeah.
Like, especially, this is off topic, but like 6, 7, like that was the first one that I didn't know. I kept up with Skibidi Toilet. I kept up with all the old things, but that was the first one. I was like, man, I'm clueless. So anyways, I'm also a little clueless with AI. I don't use it too much. There are times where I've used it to, and I'm starting to use it a little more. I've used it to kind of, I've put notes in like on a spring retreat and had it help me create like a morning devo with like Bible reading, journal prompts, prayer prompts, that, and it spits it out like in a format and like with my branding and stuff, and it's crazy. I've also had it like help me plan like creative stuff. I do like a clue night, murder mystery night every year, and it's helped me plan and create like the murder weapons, who did it, orchestrate like these super abstract ideas on how to put the puzzle pieces together. It's crazy. So but it's just a helpful tool to me to kind of help compile the resources I might already have into usable other things.
Carly?
I like AI.
Yeah.
And I use it mostly probably for brainstorming is what I would say. Okay. If like, I will put it in there and be like, I need an outline and then I'm going to go write it. But like, just give me some basics. Or for the podcast, for example, for one of our episodes this season, I needed a source or a stat on like a very specific thing. And so I put it in there. I was like, can you just give me sources? And so it'll give me the links that then I can go and do the research myself. But I'm not having to necessarily Google everything.
Yeah.
But did I do the when they had like you put in what you like and it makes you a Barbie doll in the casing? And I did that.
You
and did? I sure did. And it was very cute.
Okay.
I don't know. So
I'm kidding. I didn't do
it. I think there are times where it can be very fun, but I do use it quite often to come up with ideas or to edit things like, hey, I wrote this. What does this get the point across? Yeah. And I'll have it edit it for me. And man, that is so helpful.
It's kind of like a proofreader. It's kind of been more of a like a more advanced Grammarly. Like Grammarly was such a big deal. So like I've used it for like emails to make sure I'm saying things
right.
You know, like especially ones that I'm typically a bit more angry and I want to make sure I don't sound like I'm angry. So I'll put in things like make this sound more professional and more, you know, easy tone, stuff like that. And I've used it for like just general, like I want to have thoughts written out. Like, or I want to take I'll do like brain dumps. Then I'll put this in like in a paragraph that summarizes it or whatever. So those are like all, I would say, good things. But,
right.
Let's talk about like what the teens are going to be using it with. So like AI companions is the big one. That I think is the most scary personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Generative AI, which is what you're talking about with the Barbie doll. That's kind of like homework help, like art generation. Like, right. Hey, I want this, you know, cartoon character to be doing this or whatever. Social media filters is another big one. And then creative projects. And like you said, a search engine. So like those are the ways that I've seen teens use it. And I think we've all seen, especially in y'all's your line of work, Caleb, I'm sure.
Well, I've seen when it comes to like that search engine one, especially, I still use Google all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I know younger people who they won't use Google. They put it in AI. Hey, so they would be like, take a picture of this. Hey, what is this plant? hey, what, how can, give me a recipe for this dish. They're not going to Google to find that anymore. Yeah. They're just putting it in AI.
Well, now Google has their own AI and all the searches are doing that. Yes. And even
recapping,
like, you know, X,
honestly, so nice.
Formerly Twitter, has Grok now, which is like, you can, you can look at, which I have never used Grok, but like, apparently you can say, Grok, what is this tweet about? Or what is this situation about? And it will give you like a rundown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's everywhere.
I think Facebook, the AI, like, recaps the comments, which is crazy. Like, it goes through and will recap. Here's what people said about, like, this post. And so, I mean, like, it's genuinely everywhere. And the weird thing, like, I would say a staggering percentage use it as a search engine of teens. And then, like, it's weird, even, like, you talking about the Barbie doll thing. Like, it's broken into kind of these, like, not mainstream, but, like, these, like, trends.
Yes.
Where it's like, hey, make a Barbie. There was one that was like, roast me, basically, where you like post a picture of like your family on like Easter, and it was like, roast us in like a good mannered way. And it was like, it would do that. And so that would be the caption that people would post, at least in like our circle. And so like, it's breaking into kind of these trends. But yeah, I think the most concerning to me is the AI companions.
Yeah. So let's, before we talk about the ways that it can be useful and let's, in telling adults and parents, like the things that we could benefit from it, like what are some potential dangers that we are seeing or possibly will see? Like, what are some things that you could tell the adults, like, that we may not be happy about?
So I actually looked up a stat because I was curious, because at first when I was planning this or like thinking about this episode, I didn't put AI companions on there because I don't use it that way. Like, I'm not going to AI to like look for friendship necessarily. But then I saw a stat and I was like, okay, no, that's scary because teens are. And the site that I found said that more than 70% of teens have used AI companions and half of them use them regularly. 70% of teens are using it. And so I think that a potential danger is emotional attachment, that they're creating these strong bonds with AI companions. Some even find them more satisfying than real friends because it's probably maybe less, maybe they consider it less danger of there's not like a chance that they're going to get rejected.
Right.
And so instead of going and looking for real friendship, they're just going to go home and talk to an AI bot. And I think that is scary. And Caleb, you sent me something.
Yes. It was basically with the new like ChatGPT update, all of these people had been going to ChatGPT and forming not only like relationships, but like marriages. And, you know, there are these posts then of like people going to like r/AI boyfriend on Reddit and were like grieving over this new update pushed where if you toe an emotional line with ChatGPT, it has a failsafe now that basically says, hey, appreciate, you know, your fondness for me, but if you need like emotional or mental help, go talk to like people who can really be present and active for you, not me. And so like that's appreciative. But then there were like these people who, some of them are even, you know, like in adulthood, who are saying like, man, like just grieving and in tears. And we're like, I know a piece of my Henry or whatever their partner's name, who was the AI bot, was. I know part of them still out there. I just need to go find them. And so it's like truly not just like, oh, you know, hey, I'm bored, need something to talk to. It's like, no, I've formed a relationship.
And you're talking about adults with fully formed brains that are having that problem.
Right.
Now let's put that in a teen's perspective. Yep. It's a lot easier, especially in a world that they can feel very isolated, to get sucked into that stuff. I mean, we talked all about like the kinds of addictions that teens get into, with whether it's like internet, pornography, whatever it may be. This is just another level of that. That's scary. I mean, we literally had movies and like Black Mirror episodes about this like 5-10 years ago that we thought was way ahead of its time. And now it's come to reality. So that's obviously, I think that's my biggest concern as well. But like, let's talk also about like, you know, plagiarism, misinformation, like a decrease in cognitive skills. Like I've seen so many TikToks and like Instagram reels of college students literally using like AI to just answer test questions within seconds of having it on their computers. And I think that, you know, I know in the teaching world, like in, especially like specifically at my wife's job, they have tools now that can tell when things are either answered or made with AI, or they have it blocked, that kind of thing. But there is a probably 4-year stretch of college students that probably never did anything without like doing it with AI.
Right.
And I think we're probably closing the door on that a little bit and putting some fail-safe things. But before they caught up, I mean, there's a whole stretch of people that got through college solely on AI.
Right.
And yeah, that's kind of terrifying if you think about it.
Right.
So, and this isn't on here, but another potential danger about this is that I don't have the stats in front of me, but it's also awful for the environment. Like the computer stuff that it takes, something that said it takes X amount of like water to cool the systems and that's the stuff that could go to, you know, impoverished countries instead.
I read somewhere, so don't quote me on this because I don't have it in front of me. I feel like it's like one water bottle of water just for one question.
Yeah.
Like just a basic question is it takes a water bottle of water to cool down the system.
If we're going to keep going in this route, we're going to have to figure a way to make it more environmentally friendly. I mean, that's terrifying. The other thing that I don't like that I'll get probably old man about is this year, it seems like we've had a lot more of like AI generated books and AI generated music. And like now I forget who it was exactly. I think it's like Paramount said that they're about to release a streaming service where you can go in and type, I want a TV show with Marvel characters to where they go do XYZ and it'll just pop up an episode for you. Like apparently like Disney and all these people are just getting ready to start having like sell their rights so AI can use it. And like that just takes away like the beauty of like movies and TVs and books and media mediums that we're just letting a computer generate it now. And so that's kind of, I don't like that personally. And that's just another thing that's scary, but
there's also a like whole AI generated like accounts. Like I've seen my algorithm on a few times and teens have talked about it is like a Yeti and Bigfoot vlogs. And it's like the AI video of like a Bigfoot, like Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Like first, like selfie camera filming like a vlog. And, you know, it's, but like, I think teens find it funny because like, it's just so absurd. And, you know, it's from their standpoint, it's like, oh, somebody had to write that prompt. Right. And so it's that human element of, oh, whoever wrote that prompt is funny. And like, this is,
well, we need to get to a point where the AI is getting so good that there needs to be like a disclaimer that says like this was generated with AI or whatever. And so that might be the only way to combat that. But
that's what I was going to say. I think there sometimes is an over-reliance and a blurring of those reality lines because I see Josh got into, these are horrible, videos that are AI generated on TikTok. And he just thought they were funny where it's like these small children that are injured. A lot of times they were like in casts. Usually there was an AI generated Jesus who was singing over them, but then people in the comments would be like, someone help this poor baby raise money for them. I'm like, they're fake, but people.
Yeah.
There's some with like saving whales too. And the people in the comments are like, oh my goodness, bless him for saving this whale.
And that's where I think the real danger comes from is if you're assuming that everything is real, then you're not going to dig deeper. And I know we'll talk about that in a second about what we can do, but there was a summer reading list that was put out, I think by a newspaper this summer. And like half of the books were fake books because, and then you could tell he had put it in AI and AI came up with these fake books by real authors, but they didn't actually write these books. So that misinformation, sometimes they give you advice that is horrible of, I don't know, like if, and that's where I think these, like Caleb was saying, they're trying to put in these fail safes to keep you safer. But if a kid is saying, hey, I'm feeling this way and ChatGPT says, you know what, you should probably just get rid of your family. If they're causing that many problems, like that's harmful. That's horrible that you're telling these teenagers that. And so I just think we need to be careful about that. And then just one last thing, because you mentioned this, Tobin, that I want to like sit in just for a second, is this decrease in cognitive skills. And MIT actually did a study that says it's eroding, like ChatGPT in particular, is eroding critical thinking skills. Because things that you used to have to think through, now you're letting someone else do that thinking for you. And even compared to Google, like if you put it in ChatGPT, I think they did a study, you put it in ChatGPT, you put it in Google, and then you come up with it by yourself. And like ChatGPT was so much worse than the other two, even putting it into a search engine of just thinking about
having to at least click on the blue text of whatever link you're then going to click.
And when we think about teenagers and younger kids who are learning and in this brain development and their brain isn't getting that, I just think we're going to see some long-term consequences of that as we move forward. But let's talk about some benefits. I know we talked a little bit about our personal experience, what we think about ChatGPT, but I do think there are some cool things that can come of it. So what are some of the benefits?
I mean, I think if you use it smartly as a student, you can personalize like how you learn. Or like if, you know, I know that when I was in students, when I was in school, I would have like a question like on a paper and I wouldn't fully understand it. And now you can take those questions and say, write this another way that I might understand it. Or, hey, how can I get to this question in a different way? There's definitely things you can do with that. Even like creating, like I did this for a workout schedule, like you can create like a schedule on AI that's like, help me create a schedule to keep me more focused on my school, whatever. Like it can help you plan better and stuff like that. And so like, there's a way you can personalize your learning for that, where it's not actually doing the work for you, but it's kind of aiding you. It's no different than using an app to do that. It's just a little bit more personalized.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like I said, how beneficial it would have been when I was in high school or college to write a paper and put it in ChatGPT and say, give me feedback like you're the teacher. Like, not, don't write it for me, but give me, and where they could say, this doesn't make sense. And I can go, okay, now I can go back and rewrite that and have that. Or, hey, here's my material. Here are my notes from the semester. Yeah. Give me a quiz that's going to help me study for this test that I have coming up, my final. I just think there are some cool things that you can do that, like you're saying, it's not doing the work for you, but are really just aiding.
And that's the thing. And maybe this will come eventually, but that's the thing. I wish that there was a like a student version of it where like they could get all of those things, but it won't actually write for you or won't actually answer things for you. And like maybe that's around the corner. Maybe we'll figure a way to do that. Cause like it's, I mean, listen, like I was a pretty decent student, but I was also like, I would do anything I could to make it as quick as possible. And if I had the option to say, hey, help me write this paper instead of just write the paper for me, I'd be like, write it, hit enter, and then I would even look back.
That's what I was telling Carly on the ride up here. I was like, I would like to think that I'd find creative ways to write it, but it's like, if I have that full freedom to have it write a paper, probably better than I could.
Absolutely. You can be done in 5 minutes versus a couple of hours, and then that gives you more time to play video games, hang out with your friends, whatever. So like there's no world that I would have done the right thing in this situation. So like there, like if there's a way to make it. So anyway, all that to say, use it for brainstorming, use it for research, but don't use it to do the work for you. And that's the thing, is that that's where the benefits are, because it can be an incredibly helpful tool. And listen, if and when you get on that as a crutch, when you become a working adult, whenever you're 18, 22, 30, whatever, you're going to have to actually do the work. Like, you know, in my job, I can't just put everything in ChatGPT and have it do it all for me. Like,
but so I wonder if students are sitting there thinking, right? Like,
oh, they're not.
Yes.
You don't have to.
But even the ones who are, though, I'm like, I'm curious if it's like, okay, what's stopping me from still using ChatGPT when I do get my job to help me do all the things? Right.
I think there are a lot of people who are using it in their job.
Or even,
but you
like,
can't do it. You can't make it do
but
everything.
But it can't do your job for you. And in school, it kind of can, because it's all based on
answers,
assignments and stuff like that. And like that's where the critical thinking stuff comes in, is that, you know, whenever you're an adult and working adult, critical thinking is important. In school, it's just get the task done.
And it's also important in life.
Sure.
Like these things of being able to critically, you know, think of ways to budget or should I buy this over this is just not.
Yeah.
And that's even getting into what social media is pushing to teens now. But like, I think too, if I'm putting myself in a teen's place, it's like, what's going to keep me? Like this is now a part of everyday life. I'm going to keep using it. And so I think it's important for us or schools or just trusted adults to be able to get them to think about, okay, you can't truly rely, because they have no context for what adult life and adult job is going to be. And so I feel like it's a hard bridge to kind of cross and get them to understand.
So critical thinking is the most important part about making sure we're doing it well, I think.
Right.
Because like that's never going to be something that you know that you can't have. Like you have to have critical thinking in every aspect of life. But
well, and I think along with that, just if you're an adult listening, whether you're a teacher or parent, coach, encouraging students, like bring up, hey, here's what we're seeing with ChatGPT and critical thinking. I'm not saying that that's going to fix everything, but when I learned that, it did change every time I put something in ChatGPT. I have to think, is this worth it? And is this something I could just do on my own? And like you were saying earlier, that personal touch just isn't there with ChatGPT. For example, I was writing a speech and I was like, you know what? ChatGPT could probably write a really nice speech for me for this event that I have coming up, but it won't be me.
No.
it will be their and words. And even obvious. And even if I went and wrote based on what they said, I'm like, it's still going to be influenced
right.
by this robot. And I was like, no, I'm not even going to ask it to give me feedback. Like, I'm writing this. This is coming from me, so I can tell someone I wrote that. And those critical thinking skills, even if you can end up using ChatGPT in the workplace, you can't always use it with your family. Like, if I'm in a situation one-on-one with a person, I can't be like, hang on, just one second. I need to put this in ChatGPT and see what they're going to say. Like, that is a skill you have to have. And so encouraging them of just think that question, is this worth it? Can I do it myself? And is this a skill that I want to build later on?
And we could, you know, so that's setting up the guardrails for what we're doing. Maybe setting up boundaries for yourself. And if you're a parent listening, setting up boundaries for your kid too. I don't know how you, that's a lot harder to do these days, but yeah, when I was in school, like we obviously didn't have AI back then, but one time we had like, I took Spanish, we had Spanish translator websites, and it's like going back to not sounding like you, I was doing some recipe thing and I had it just, I was like, I'm going to put it all in and it's going to translate everything. I don't have to do any work. And for ground beef, it translated it to beef from the floor. And immediately,
oh, no.
immediately my teacher knew, like, I know exactly what it is. Like, so like, if you're a student listening, like teachers are more aware of this than you probably realize, because
that M dash will get you every time.
Yes. Well, and like they're using words that you've never used in your vernacular yeah. ever. And so like, that's the thing is like, so setting up like boundaries on what you're supposed to be doing with it as a student. And if you're in school, ask your teacher, like, where am I allowed to do this? Yeah. Like, because some of the teachers might be cool with it. They might say, hey, use it for XYZ. Don't use it for ABC. And so that, like, ask the teachers and ask the schools, like, where is this allowed to help me?
And I think, yeah, Carly and I were talking about it too earlier of like, it's not going anywhere. It's not. And so it's about us as adults figuring out how to use it effectively and train students to use it effectively. And so like, I know Carly was like, you know, if you're a teacher, brainstorm ideas. Hey, here's ways that you can use it. Here's ways that you cannot.
Yeah, and make it very clear of, and there are sources, teenagers I think know this now, and most teachers know this, that we used to have, I can't even remember what it was called, that teachers would upload your paper and it would tell them if you plagiarized anything. Now there are programs that they can upload your paper and it will tell them if it has been AI generated. Yeah. And so they know those things. So tell them if you use AI to write your paper, you will get a zero or whatever that consequence is. But I would encourage you, let it give you feedback before you turn it into me so that you have someone to go off of. Let it help you find sources, but then you go read those sources. Let it help you create a quiz. Let it explain, hey, I didn't understand this math homework, so can you explain it in a different way? These are ways that you can use it. Here are ways it can't do your homework for you. It can't all of that stuff. But I also think teachers need to be aware that teenagers are doing this and think through like, okay, that might mean tests that I've been doing online now need to come back to paper yeah. because they can't use AI if they're sitting there and having to use pen and paper.
Right. Yeah.
And there's just some things that I think teachers are going to have to start thinking yeah. through to get around that.
Well, and before like Carly, you wrap us up, just there's one other thing I think we need to like just hit back again is if you are an adult or a teen specifically listening to this and you are using AI as a companion of some sort, just use caution with that. Like I'm not saying don't do it. Like I don't think it's a great idea if you're a teen, but if you are already doing that, use caution with that. And if it's like, you should not be using this to seek mental health help. Now, if you're using it to where can I find help for my mental health, that's one thing. But this is not a mental health counselor. It's not a mental health replacement. So please make sure that if you are relying to mention this for your mental health, that you seek help through your school counselor, through a therapist of some sort with your family that they choose, or whoever a trusted adult in your life is, and just making sure that you're not using this stuff to mentally help you.
Right. And that's for adults. I would encourage you, try it use it so you can talk to your teenagers about it and you have some idea of what it can and can't do. Here's the thing. You're using it whether you know you are or not. If you Google, you're using it because, as we said, there's AI tools there now, but AI cannot replace real people. It just can't. And so have conversations with students, be willing to talk about that, but also coming from it a place of, hey, you are capable of doing this on your own. And you have the people in your life that can support you, and you don't need
Yeah. I think too, like that self-confidence thing's a big part of it. Cause it's almost like we're training teams to, oh, I can't do this
right
with my own abilities. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a reinforcement of you can, mm-hmm. right. And I think, you know, from a teen standpoint, it's like, well, if it can do it better than I can, or, you know, what's the harm of me trying to befriend an AI, whereas making friends in real life is so hard. And I think too, the message you need to hear is like, you are capable, and you are all, each and every one of us humans are so blessed and awesome in our own ways. And so, you know, put that trust back in yourself, I think would be my charge to just everyone.
That's good. Well, as always, subscribe on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have a question that you want us to cover, you can reach out on social media, or you can email podcast@teenlife.ngo. And we'll see you next week.